2, beginning at verse 11. Now, before we start reading, John says in the first chapter of John, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. This passage that we're going to be reading really summarizes something of what John was trying to express to his readers. His own people, those who had the scriptures, should have known better, but they refused the Messiah. And so, God in all of his grace turned, in a sense, from uniquely revealing himself to the Jewish nation, and he turned to the Gentiles as well. Now, you sort of have to get back almost 2,000 years, because all of us have reaped the benefits already of everything that Paul is saying in this passage. But you wonder about the Ephesians who read the letter for the first time, what it must have meant to them to hear from God these words that we are looking at now. Therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, but what is called the circumcision, made in the flesh by hands. I don't know if he's deliberately playing on words here, or he's being a little sarcastic. But Paul is trying to remind these new believers in the Lord Jesus Christ of their privileges of becoming followers of the Lord Jesus Christ and believing in his finished work at the cross. They were outside of all of this wonder and all of this awe and all of the liturgy and all the traditions. I know that musical Fiddler on the Roof even had a song about the traditions. They knew nothing of this. They were outside. He wants them to realize this, to think about it. That is that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in the world. That's a dismal picture. And what he wants them to realize and what he wants us to realize is that we're no longer in that place. They're no longer outside. They were outside. They couldn't really enjoy the glory of God in their midst because they were aliens. They were without hope. Now, we are trying to reach people for the Lord Jesus Christ. In today's society, they don't want to talk about sin. They don't want to talk about dismal things and judgment and without hope. And they want everyone to feel good. And unfortunately, a lot of churches are preaching the feel-good gospel. But he wants them to face up to what they were. You were without Christ. You were without hope. Without God. Now, sometimes in our life as believers, things happen to us. And I know it's easy, and we often do it. Why me, Lord? Here I am. I'm a faithful believer. I go to the chapel, and I go into all the meetings, and I'm a prayer person, and I love you, and yet things happen to me. At the job, my physical life, And we want to say, we look at others who don't seem to be as faithful as you are, and nothing's wrong, nothing, they're happy, and they never get sick, everything's, so the question is, why am I slugging it out? Why don't I back up? Back up. Let me suggest one reason why you're not backing up. Once you taste the fellowship with God, you don't want to lose that. Once you've come near to Him, it is so precious that fellowship in Him that you don't want to let it go. No matter how difficult things get in your life, you're a child of God. You have peace with God. God is working in your inner man. That inner man is being renewed day by day. And you're enjoying Him. All right? You got problems. But in those problems, they're temporary in nature. Even if they stay with you for the rest of their life, they're still temporary because absent from the body, present with the Lord, the joy of the Lord. But you taste that. Now, before I got married later in life. I had my life to live. But what I would have missed if I had not shared that life with Carolyn, if I had not met Carolyn. It's a dimension of life that's full and overflowing and wonderful and pleasant and gracious, and I call it fuzzy warm. And so we have this life. And He says to them, you didn't have that. And He says, verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. So when you're going through these difficulties, without Christ, you were far off. You had no identity with God. Now you are a child of God. Now you are going to face life in a different perspective. You're in fellowship with a God who cares for you, casting all your care upon me. And we want to do that. We never stand as tall as human beings if we don't have God in our lives. There's a completeness there. There's a wonder there. The Christian life, we should never lose that sense of wonder. We're curious. How did God do that? How is God working in His life, in her life? How is God forming a oneness in the body of Christ in this assembly where there are so many unique, different individuals? Where would you meet a crowd like this? Where? And then you meet them in the family of God. Maybe they're not people you would have chosen as your friends. But here you are in fellowship and in worship with this family. There is a hope. There is a joy. There is a peace. But look what he says in verse 14. It's a wonderful expression. I don't know how much time we could spend just on this one little expression. For He Himself is our peace. I'm sure many of you have wonderful devotions. Maybe you have family devotions. Maybe you're a very personal person, but you want to spend time with the Lord that you love. You're going to face a hard day, and some of you may have great decisions to make. Some of you may have financial difficulties. But you take time out to be with the Lord you love. When things are bad and maybe you're upset, it's great to realize He is our peace. There's a nearness to God we would have never, ever known apart from the Lord Jesus Christ dying on the cross for our sins by the blood of His cross. Oh, He told His disciples in the world, you're going to have tribulations. Be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. My peace I give unto you. It's not as the world gives. It's not the peace that the world experiences. I have a peace that fills your soul. You know, there's joy and peace in believing. Maybe you're having trouble sleeping. When my daughter was young, she came to me one night. Said, Daddy, I'm having bad dreams. I'm terrified by these dreams. I'm having very bad dreams. What can we do? I said, Dear, you love the Lord Jesus, right? Yes. Well, let me tell you something. We have an adversary. He likes to try to get under our skin. He likes to do things to us. Now, I want you to go in the bedroom tonight, and I want you to say, Satan, leave me alone. I said to her, submit your way unto the Lord. Resist the devil, he will flee from you. I love the Lord Jesus. You leave me alone. She did that. She came to breakfast. It worked, Daddy. I slept like a baby. It worked. Sometimes the most simple things make our day. We keep everything so complex. If there's anything we need in our lives, it's that sense of peace that passes all understanding. Peace with God. I want you to think about that for a moment. Here we are, all believers. We're going to be joining in prayer together. Do I appreciate, do I realize I have peace with God? He's made it possible for me to enter His presence. Now, we among the brethren have tried to push aside kind of religiousness, religious services, liturgies. We've tried to simplify access to God. Unimpeded access to God. It's scriptural. Each one of us has that privilege. Well, if only I could reach out to God. Well, I'll go to Jim Quinton. Maybe he could speak to God on my behalf. After all, he's an elder in this meeting. I can't seem to. We don't work that way. Thanks to this passage, we have that access. We don't always take advantage of it. Sometimes we're miserable because we don't take advantage of speaking to the one we love. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation. What? I have as much access to God, I was thinking of these Ephesians, as a Gentile, I have as much access to God as the Jew who had all the promises and the prophets and the liturgy and the vestments. They had everything. I had nothing. But when Jesus was on the cross, he cried, "It is finished." And the veil was rent from top to bottom. Access to God. So he came unto his own. His own received him, but to as many as believe in him. Wow. What a change. What a glory. What a place we can occupy as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's mind-boggling. Now, I don't know where some of your backgrounds were. I don't know if you were in a group of people who worship God in a certain legalistic or a lot of priests or go-betweens, and you were out here and you couldn't get in there and unless you did certain things. And I don't know. But all of a sudden, you found Jesus Christ as your Savior. And you realized, I can talk to him. There's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. It's an awakening. I came to this assembly at 12 years old when I trusted Christ. So I didn't go through a long process of religious responsibilities and duties. I came as a boy that had freedom to get up even at the breaking of bread and speak to God at the age of 14. I didn't have any inhibitions. Oh, I'll have to go through something, some organization or some kind of training or some kind of seminary. I can't really have that deep an access to God on my own. Oh, yes, you can. He has made peace. There's no difference. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. You know, we come together with different backgrounds, as I said before. We love the Lord Jesus. We want to worship him together. And we're different. We may say things different than I would say it. But we're all one in Christ. And we want to honor him in our home life because we want to honor him. Oh, you should do this and you should do that. Yeah, there are some shoulds in our lives, and I accept that. There are duties. We have duties as Christians. We're just not running by the seat of our pants everywhere else. There are things that we want to follow. But I have a right to express myself in his presence that is honorable to him. There's no wall of difference between the Jews who were called by his name to honor him in all the rituals and all the traditions that no longer exists. There's no wall of separation. You have as much right to be in the presence of God, he's saying to these Ephesians, as the Jews do. And the Jews, together, you're making one body. Well, then you go back to what he said. Therefore, remember that you once were Gentiles in the flesh who are called uncircumcision. Despicable. No access. And those who are the circumcision. But Paul says, and I wondered about that when he says this, made in the flesh by hands, they never got beyond the fleshly part of circumcision. It was really supposed to be a sign of God entering into their hearts and changing their lives. And they stayed with the externals. They stayed with the rituals. They wouldn't pray any original prayers. There are some groups that have prayer books, and the only prayers you can ever say to God must come out of those prayer books. Well, I could never express it as beautifully as the prayer books. And so we may have young men here tonight. You go to the breaking of bread and you hear some of the prayers and you're taken up with the prayers and you say to yourself, I could never pray that way. Therefore, I'm never going to get up and say anything because I'm afraid I would stumble. I've said this many times here. Let me just repeat what that 14-year-old boy said the first time he got on his feet in the breaking of bread. The first time I got on my feet, what did I say? This is all I said. I didn't fumble. I said it with all the strength. And I said, Lord Jesus, I love you. Sat down. Do you know, I've been a Christian now almost 60 years. I've never improved on that prayer. You mean to tell me in the breaking of bread I could get up and say something? Oh, why not? Oh. It's that easy? Well, we talk about being easy. Depends on what kind of life you're living. If you're living a life that's close to him and in his word, then you're going to want to talk to him. But if you're living a shameful life, you're not going to want to do anything. You examine yourself. You'll confess your sins. You'll come to the meeting feeling ashamed. Maybe I've told you this. There was a young man in the French meeting we were in, and he bowed his head. He didn't take the elements. He didn't take the bread and the wine. I went up to him and I said, what'd you do that for? I felt ashamed. I yelled at one of my children just before the breaking of bread, and I said something I shouldn't have. I felt ashamed. But Paul said, examine yourselves and then eat. You don't sit there and ashamed and don't participate. What value is that? So we've got to be careful with ourselves as we find this new freedom, and that we can enter his presence and we can enjoy fellowship with him. We've got not to overreact. and try to find a piety that is absolutely perfect. You're not going to find it. That does not mean that you can live a loosely lived life and play around with sin. It doesn't mean that at all. Now, Paul goes on to say, this has been done to you. One new man making peace. Now notice what else he says. That he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. Those are strong words. Enmity. Hatred. The Jews have to realize this. Be careful, Gentiles. Now that you've found Christ, don't look down on the Jews. You've got to have the same sense of oneness. So as we gather together in the household of faith, some of us are very transparent in our Christian walk. Others are very secretive. A little story doesn't sound like much right now. This woman, this is when hats were a big thing in the assemblies. This woman came to the meeting with a beautiful, beautiful hat. And some of the women in the meeting said, there she goes again, showing herself off, buying another new hat. These little remarks, they don't bring a sense of peace and love and joy. There are jealousies that happen and foolishness among saints. And maybe we don't always do everything. There was a fellow in our meeting. He'd come and came in jeans and he had a dirty sweatshirt on. He came with a dirty sweatshirt. So he was dressed, but we were going to have a wedding at the group. And I went to him and I said, I forgot his name, I'll call him Andre. Andre, we're going to have a real very important meeting where we're going to have a wedding, our first wedding here, and they're getting married. Could you dress up a little bit more? So he bought a new sweatshirt. Nice, gray, new sweatshirt. Came in his baggy pants, but he had and I commended him. I said, I am thrilled that you came with a new sweatshirt to the wedding. We're all different, but we all have peace with God. And we're trying to worship together in the oneness of spirit. And he came and preach peace to you who were afar off, to those who were near. For through him, we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now, we're not all advancing at the same rate in our Christian walk. We don't all capture Scripture the same way, the truths of God's Word. That's why we need each other. Some can make, I'll put it this way, some can make the Scripture sing. Some have trouble with what the Scripture teaches. Some get very excited and very passionate about the Christian life. Others, they're very calm, very meticulous. We're all so different. For through him, we all have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now, it's nice we see the Trinity in that verse. It's through Christ we have access by one Spirit to the Father. Let me just touch on this briefly. Never forget, as believers, that God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You know, there was a movement called Jesus Only People. And we do relate to the Lord Jesus. But we also believe in God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. And the three of them are building our lives together. Normally we address the Father. And we're directed and helped by the Holy Spirit. And when it's right, for instance, at the breaking of bread, the center of our focus, because Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. We center on the person of Christ. Oh, but there's all kinds of situations. I had a man come up to me in the meeting where we're fellowshipping, and he came from a little bit different background. And he said, I'm very upset with you, Brother Thrall. I said, what did I do wrong? You should never address the person of Christ at the breaking of bread, personally. You should always present the Son to the Father. You address the Father and you glorify the Son, but you never address the Son. So I brought this up to him. I said, excuse me, I talked to a couple of the elders. Does this meeting believe that you should only address the Father? No. Well, someone gave me the idea that that was what I had to do. Well, that's nonsense. And yet, the man who said it is very well respected, and they didn't even know he would say something like that. So we've got to be careful. We're going to honor the Father? Of course we are. But the Lord Jesus is very personal to all of them. The Trinity should be. So just in your meditations and in your thinking, remember that our God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. For through him, we have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now that brings up something very interesting. I gather from what I've just read, the Father has a very prominent place in our lives. And we want to keep that truth foremost. There's a professor of the Old Testament at Wheaton College. And I've read a lot of his work. And he makes a very interesting observation. He said, unless you see God Almighty in the stories of the Old Testament, unless you see something of Yahweh, you've missed the point of the story. No matter how, David and Goliath, all the Old Testament stories, we've got to see God for who he is. And oftentimes, reference was made to the Father. And so we as believers, we relate to the Son. Many of us spend a lot of thinking, I know I do, and then I've got to catch myself and say, wait a minute, Bob. When you pray, think about this. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. the Father gave the Son, and so on. We're just going. All I'm saying is we have to see the wonder of living with a triune God. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. And now he starts giving them a new perspective. God is now dealing with the people that are brought into the body of Christ, of the bride of Christ. And the foundation for that are the apostles and the prophets. And the apostles and the prophets are those who recognized the voice of God among the people of God. They knew when God was speaking. And they needed to take those words and to write them down. And really, it's the foundation of Scripture. The apostles, New Testament, prophets, Old Testament, built together to bring us through the written word the majesty of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now therefore you are to be no longer strangers, we aren't. We've been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. Now why therefore is it important for me to have a consistent Christian testimony every day? Why, therefore, is it important for me to walk by faith, to enjoy the fellowship of Christ, the direction and leading of the Holy Spirit, and honoring the Father? Why is this all important? Being in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. Now, we have children who don't go to any meeting place anymore. Some have been turned off, feelings hurt, been mistreated, and so they've come to the place where we don't need the body to be worshiping. We can do it on our own. I don't agree with that position. We have the wonder of needing each other. We are being built up together into a holy temple. And honestly, I want your life to shine for Christ. I want your worship to be radiant and exciting. I want to contribute to that. I want you to grow with me together to form a holy temple for the Lord. Now, in doing that, there's some little practical thing that I need to do. We had a dear brother here take us out for supper. Well, that was a nice gesture. Spend time with us. He's going through difficulties in his life. Very deep difficulties. But we expressed our appreciation to this brother for taking the time to spend time with us. And he turned it around. He said, I'm blessed that you took time to spend with me. Now, we need to look at each other as believers who love the Lord Jesus and look at each other, that we might help each one grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Because this is what God wants. He wants a building fitted together, growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Now look at this. The Gentiles, you're without hope, without God. You have no place to be with Him. You're far off. And then the Lord Jesus Christ comes and He makes peace by the blood of His cross and gives us access. The veil is rent from top to bottom. We have access, and all of a sudden, we're in a place of richness, of expression, of awe. We are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. How do we react to that? What do you say about your life? What do you say about your living? Well, I'm a nobody. Don't say that. I don't want anybody to come up to me and say, "Oh, but you know, Bob, I'm a nobody." Oh, don't say that, please. You are a somebody in Christ. And I'm a somebody in Christ. And together, we are building a dwelling place. A dwelling place. Now, God wanted to dwell in a temple. And we're saying, as we grow together as a local church, we want you to dwell in this temple. We want you to dwell not only the temple of my body, but the temple of the body of Christ. A dwelling place. You know, we have homes. And the Lord Jesus, you know, He stands at the door and knocks, and He wants to have fellowship with us. He wants to come into our lives. But isn't it a marvel when you think of yourself? You've come to know Jesus Christ, and God wants to dwell in the temple of His people. It's mind-boggling. It should bring great joy to our lives. You know, there are times when we shouldn't be shirking or bowing and scraping. There are times in our lives when we should be looking, metaphorically, looking up into the face of God. We can do that. Not because we're anything, but because He has made us able to access His person, His life. I have given you life, and I'll give it to you more abundantly. Let's take advantage of all that He has given us. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we think of this marvelous passage of Scripture. What we were and what we've become. We don't know what to say, really. But we want to say thank you, Lord. Thank you for giving us access to yourself. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for sending your Son. Thank you for giving the Holy Spirit that we might praise your name and read the Scriptures correctly. We give praise and thanksgiving in the one who loved us, in the name of the one who loved us and gave himself for us, even our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Well, here. Okay.